Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
From Romans chapter 6, verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. It's a wonderful verse. Sometimes it's difficult to read something like that and understand it completely from the first reading. And you have to go back and you have to read it over and over again. As you'll find with a lot of things in the scriptures. But it's worth doing. And the thing that I picked out of that today was where he says, to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. The pattern of teaching that Paul is talking about. What pattern of teaching could Paul be talking about? Where does that come from? Well, it comes from this. You and I know that. The Bible, the Holy Bible. And that's what I want to talk to you about today is the Bible. You know, we actually don't talk about the Bible a whole lot. We talk from the Bible a whole lot. In fact, in this church, you'll hear it preached every week. But we don't necessarily talk about it as maybe in a Bible study because we don't do formal Bible studies in this church as well either. But we'll do a little something of that today. And that was the word that the Lord has had on my heart for several weeks, actually. And it seemed to fit because we're talking about the teaching. The teaching. This is where we get the teaching. We also found that in a collect for today, it even mentions the teaching of the Lord. Now, the Bible today is as relevant as it ever was. Okay? And God speaks to millions of people every day through it. Hallelujah. I hope that he does to you. Now, you know, the difficult thing about this is that it's not a book. You say, but you're holding it right there. It looks like a book to me. But it's not. You could call it an anthology, something like that, because it's a collection of books. It's a collection of letters. It's a compilation of many, many things. I mean, it's a collection of different types of writings, including things like instruction and stories. There's poetry. There are prophecies. There's narrative histories, all just to name a few. So even of literary types, there are many different types within this anthology. And the books, incredibly, in fact, miraculously, come from so many variety of authors, okay? Many from incredibly different backgrounds, from prisoners to kings are authors of this book. And the oldest scripture that we have in here is probably actually handed down over the generations just through the oral tradition, meaning that it was taught by speaking, like I'm speaking now, to those later generations. It was recited over and over again before it was ever written down, and eventually somebody wrote it down. In short, it's a very diverse collection of books. Jack used that word diverse early. This is a good diversity, okay? And it was written over thousands of years. And it's that diversity that we think of that proves its authenticity. Because throughout all of the stories, there is a common theme. God running after his children in love. And there's no way that one single author could compile or write such an epic as this. Not like Homer could write this thing. You know, as if somebody had some nefarious plot to fool us all. Ha ha! I fooled you. It's just fiction. I wrote it. Wrong. And it is proven through that diversity that I discussed with you. It is also proven through many, many other ways. But it is important for us to understand all of this because what we have here is a very neatly put together volume that you can sit down and read, and you can go from Genesis to Revelation just like that. You can read from beginning to end. You can jump around anywhere you want in this book. And it all hasn't always been that way. And that's another thing I want you to understand, is that what we have compiled together here took a long time to get it there. And it is an incredible gift to us because of that. Paul knew the scriptures, didn't he? You heard from Paul. I was just reading from his letter to the Romans. But you know what? That wasn't this book. There were parts there, but he didn't have a New Testament. He was part of writing it. Maybe there was a gospel floating around that he might have read once or twice. But you know, it wasn't like you could go down to the store and buy a Bible. There might have been one floating around or shared by many people. He was reading from the Tanakh. That was the Hebrew Bible. No New Testament. Okay. And now that most of these things are, and this is what got me thinking about this, we access this book electronically so often, and we can search it so well now, and we can isolate out specific verses, and we can do comparisons and huge amounts of study and find huge amounts of information just at the touch of a screen. That's how I do it. Okay. But you know, because it's on a tablet or a phone or something like that, it's easy to lose the sense of the whole. Because we don't see the whole book. I'm just going, oh, what's Romans 16:7 say? You know, or 7:16, that's what I meant. We don't hold it in our hands as much as we used to. We don't read it that way. And some of you do, I'm sure. And at the same time, you can meditate on a verse like Romans 6:18. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. But without some kind of background, without some kind of understanding, you know, in fact, that really doesn't mean much to somebody who's not a believer. In fact, it sounds a bit ludicrous if you think about it. If you put that passage up on a marquee for all to see, the Christians would get it, but others would find no meaning in it. Perhaps they might even say we sound preachy or sanctimonious, you know? Yeah, set free from sin. But we understand that because of this pattern of teaching, we are free from sin and slaves to righteousness. Hallelujah. So this whole volume is packed with wisdom, with knowledge and faith. But to take it as a whole is a daunting challenge. And that's why many spend their entire lives researching it and studying it. Because it's not just a book. It's many books. It's hard to sit down and read it from beginning to end. It's like, oh, that's like over 1,000 pages, 1,800 pages. I can't read all that. But it's not impossible to do. Okay? I mean, just ask Father David. He worked for a company for years called Scripture Awakening that promoted reading through the Bible, the whole Bible in 90 days. And what was the purpose of that? To get the whole picture. To get the big picture of the Bible, which is really the picture of humankind from the beginning to now. Father Bill mentioned last week to you, about how the ranks of Christians seem to be shrinking. Thank you for that wonderful, uplifting thought. Really, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, sorry. But it's true. And along with that, I certainly would understand that fewer people understand the Bible. Fewer people read it or what its message is. Even Christians often don't know it very well. There's a fellow who's trying to change that a little bit, Christopher Townsend. I'm sure you all know him. No? Nobody knows Christopher Townsend? You might know him by his stage name better. He's Topher Town. Topher is a rapper. And if you go on Snapchat or TikTok, you'll find some videos that Topher puts out there. And he has this interesting ministry called Stay in That Word. That's the title of the sermon, by the way. Stay in that word. Okay? And what Topher will do is he goes around and he goes into public places and he asks people if they can answer a question from the Bible, Bible fact, you know. He says, I'll give you $100 if you can answer this question. And so that gets people's attention. Sometimes several people kind of gather around, you know, and they kind of go through, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, like you might ask them, you know, how many days was Noah in the ark? And they'll go, well, let's see, maybe it was this or that, you know. And you know, whether they come up with the right answer or not, he gives them $100. Tells them about Jesus. Encourages them to read their Bible. By the way, how many days was Noah in the ark? Anybody know? Hey, I told you. 150 days before he could leave. It didn't rain that long, but he couldn't had to wait that long. And I'm going to give you one of those little challenges as well, too. And I don't want you to answer it right now. I want you to wait until the end of the sermon, and then we're going to answer it. Can you name the 12 apostles? Think about that. Don't answer. And our MDiv people can't answer. So you see, it's imperative that we know this book. Because you and I know there are many authors, but there was one author, wasn't there? The Lord God. He gave it to us. It's not just for preachers and teachers and artists to know what's and to tell you what's in it. Because in some denominations, that's what people do. You know, they say, well, we'll let the clergy handle the Bible and they can just wake us up when something happens. But you know what? That's an incredible tragedy. What a tragedy. You know, suppose, just theoretically, suppose that God were going to speak to you personally and specifically, wouldn't you want to hear it? Maybe he wouldn't, actually, but. Because he often speaks through the Bible personally and specifically to you. And to miss that would be a tragedy, which also happens around the world every day. We need every opportunity to hear from God. You know, I've threatened to quit my job and become a prospector. There's a little creek down from us, you know, and I am certain there's gold in there. Look, it's got to be gold, you know. And I said, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to start, you know, panning for gold. You know, when you pan for gold, you got to get that sand out of there and you're trying to get all the sand parts out and the heavy stuff, the gold nuggets fall to the bottom, right? You know, and I could live on that. But, you know, studying the Bible every day is like sifting. It's like distilling the contents of what God is saying to you today. Because there are gold nuggets to be found in here. And if we agree, if we can just agree not to rewrite it, then it's a rock in a flood. It's an anchor in a storm for us. Something that remains solid when everything is changing around you. We heard that in a song today. You see, because God hasn't changed. And he hasn't changed his mind. Society's changed, but he hasn't, and he won't. And that's incredibly important for you because it means that his promises still and always are true. He won't stop loving you, no matter what. He doesn't change. Be comforted in that. So we don't rewrite the Bible. We submit to it, not it to us. So, a couple of practical things regarding it, okay? You know, there are many translations of the Bible, right? I mean, you know, there are a lot out there, right? And there are several anthologies like this that have some of the books in here and some don't have some of the books in it. Picking a Bible to read is important. After this sermon, if you're confused, then ask one of us. But you know, there are translations and there are transliterations and there are paraphrased Bibles. We go on and on. You know that the KJV, the King James Version, that wonderful translation, is from the very early Christian manuscript, so it is closer to the early writings than many others. It's kind of the standard, the gold. And the New King James is an updated version of that, so it's easier to read, but it's still faithful to the early teachings and the early translations. The NIV, which is this Bible right here, is not a word-for-word translation. You could call it more of a thought-for-thought rephrasing of God's holy and inspired word, right? A kind of compromise between paraphrase and translation. I know, you're getting all confused about that. I am. The Amplified Bible and the Living Bible, which you probably also heard of too, are paraphrase Bibles. And while they're easy to read, the wording has been changed to make that possible. And that change can change the meaning as well too. Now understand that like when I prepare a sermon, I actually read through several different translations, okay, including these paraphrase Bibles, because sometimes they make it easier to understand. Oh, now I understand what that means. But sometimes you have to be careful with them. For instance, okay, from our gospel today, Matthew 10:37, the KJV says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And usually when I, you know, read from the King James Version, at some point I'm going to get tongue-tied out like that. The NIV says, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That sounds pretty close, doesn't it? Yeah, I think those are pretty close. If we go to the New Living Translation, we hear this. "If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine." And there's that little last part at the end that you heard. It might sound a little different, you know? And it was different, you know? Because the first said, you know, if we aren't worthy of him in those first two translations, it means that we can't be his. But it also means that he can't be ours. He can't live in and through us. We can't be one. Another way you could say it is that we don't deserve him if we love life more than him. And if we go with the New Living Translation, it says, if we aren't worthy of being his, it implies more to me of a one-way relationship than a two-way relationship, which what being in Christ really is. So I think that there is a difference in the translation there a little bit, you see, how it changes things ever so slightly. So it's good to use multiple translations at times. And you say, well, I don't have all those books. Well, you know what? They're on here. You can look them up pretty easily. Or you can actually find Bible apps where you can just look at them side by side. But to understand Matthew 10, verse 37, or that whole scripture gospel that we read, like I said, we have a larger picture that we need to understand. And we need, in this case, to read the whole chapter. Matthew 10, he's sending out his disciples, sending them out to do ministry. And chapter 10 of Matthew is about the facts of life for a follower of Jesus. There's a cost to being one of Jesus' disciples. And if you were to keep reading the whole book of Matthew, you'll understand that. If you read the books of Paul, you'll understand what it means and the cost of being a disciple. The importance of looking at the larger book, you see. I mean, if you go all the way down in Matthew and read to chapter 22, Jesus declares what must be the most important thing in your life, which relates back to what we're hearing today. Gee, what could that be? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Lord our God is one. And then what comes after that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment greater than these. That's more important than fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. That's what our gospel is about today. God comes first. So it's important to pick your translation of the Bible carefully. How are you going to know God if you don't keep this and read in it? if he's the most important thing in your life, okay, I better use this thing. A second thing is, you know, there are a number of books in the Bible, right? How many books are in the Bible? Anybody know? 56? Okay. But which version are you asking about? Because it differs. It differs, right? Yes, we think 66. But you know, the Catholic version is different. Orthodox version is different. The Jewish version is different. They have more books in them. Different faiths accept different books, okay? Your NIV or your NKJV, whatever you use there, doesn't have Ecclesiasticus or Wisdom or Tobit or Baruch in it. These are what we call Protestant Bibles, the 66. But in this church, we also read from those other things too, because there's instructive stuff in there, what we call the Apocrypha, right? But in the Catholic Bible, it's included. It's part of the books. The Hebrew Bible has only 39 books. Of course, there's no New Testament, as you understand, but also certain versions within Judaism will either combine Chronicles together, Kings together, so it's only one book. So you see, there's not always exactly 66 books in the Bible. Depends on which one you're reading. And there's useful information found in some of those others. Now, our teaching would say that we don't build our dogma or doctrine on those things, but they are useful for instruction. So you see, not only is there not just one translation, there's also other things to consider in which anthology you're going to read. And the CEC, you know, this comes from our CEC site. It says, we are a church holding to a high view of the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, believing them to contain all things necessary for salvation. Found in here. CEC includes the Protestant Bible in its lectionary, but does include readings from some of the others. And you've heard them, Ecclesiasticus, knowing your Bible is important. Paul says so. Obeying from your heart the pattern of teaching that has claimed your allegiance. That's what I read to you at the beginning. So what has happened as a result of its teaching? You have been set free from sin, brothers and sisters, and become slaves to righteousness. And that's just a passing thing. No, it's key. You have been set free from sin. Hallelujah. And we love hearing about that. But what does it mean to be a slave to righteousness? I'll tell you. You know, sometimes I don't feel like I really belong in the world. You know? You kind of feel like an alien. You ever noticed that? Have you ever felt that way? I mean, I meet lots of people every day, but somehow, and I like meeting people, but sometimes I feel like a real alien. You know, you probably have felt that, and I know that I have, is, you know what, it would be so much easier to just live like the world. But we can't. We're a people set apart. Not above, but apart. It's kind of like kids, you know, separated into groups with cool stuff to play with, you know, out in their gymnasium or something like that. But, you know, eventually you get looking at the other group and you want to play with their toys. Yours just aren't good enough anymore. Israelites did the same thing. You say, we want a king just like all the other nations. We don't want to be different. We don't want to have to speak to God our own selves. But we are set apart. We are slaves to righteousness. He who loves his father more than, or mother more than me, is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Not worthy to have me, Jesus said. See, it's not an option. You kind of get one or the other. Occasionally we fall back into the other, but God receives us back because he is an incredibly loving, forgiving God. What being a slave to righteousness is. So brothers and sisters, don't forget the pattern of teaching. We teach from it here every Sunday. You still need this anthology, this collection of writings, this book, this Holy Bible. When I was young, I marveled if people had strong opinions or convictions before I was a Christian, because I had none. I thought, where do you get that from? Gee, to be so, you know, enthusiastic about that. What teaching are you using? And is it right? Well, the book is right. That's what I found out. It tells truth, and it's right. And by learning from it and trusting it, that's where you can get your strong convictions. And then you're right, too. So what I wanted you, I guess, to understand from this sermon today is that if it weren't for this book, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. You wouldn't know Jesus. You wouldn't be saved. You would be a slave to sin. But because you aren't, because you have learned the pattern of teaching, you are right. You are not wrong. It means that sometime in the past, either you or your parents or your pastor or your priest actually learned from this book and taught it to you. You gave your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. And this book hasn't stopped working for you. It continues to work for you now if you'll let it. It's a source of God speaking to you on a regular basis. So I guess if anything, it's an advertisement for the Bible. Pick yours up today. You need to be reading it regularly. You can read it in any format you want. I'm not putting down electronic formats to read it. Just understand the big picture as you do. If you find a scripture that you don't understand or you want to learn more about, there are incredible Bible study tools available right at the touch of a button. You can read it in different translations. You compare them side by side. You can find out what others have said about them in the past. Because you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching, which has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free and have become slaves to righteousness. Amen. So now, we're going to name the 12 apostles. Anybody? Throw out one.
Peter.
Matthew. Who? John. Okay. Who? Philip?
Bartholomew. James.
Big James and little James.
Judas and Jude.
Oh, now we're getting into different translations. Yes, right?
Simon the Zealot.
Thaddeus. Right. It depends on which version that you look at. But you know what? If we go back, you know what? Chapter 10 of Matthew, you go back to the beginning, he names them all right there. I know. Because does everybody know who Lebbaeus is? Oh, otherwise known as Thaddeus. And of course, Simon and Judas Iscariot. We all know Judas.
Thomas,
yes, exactly. Very good. Over 12, oh my gosh. Very good. But if you didn't know them, then you need to get in that word. Okay? Amen.